The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and we are internet radio now. And I mean, you're gonna see some amazing things coming down the road with this big show here. And as I said 2 days ago, I put up March was our biggest month ever for people coming to the radio station. I'm happy as can be because every month we're growing. We've only been up a little over 2 years now. It's a pretty amazing trek what we've come from. And I just want to tell everybody, I'm not going to get long-winded with this, but when people tell you no and you believe in something, do it. Because you know what I mean? There wasn't one person that was behind me with the radio station from the beginning. They told me podcasting was a waste of time. Well, read the trade journals and business journals. I don't think it'll ever go away, radio, actual radio. But podcasts in the next 3 years are saying will be out of sight, out of orbit. Whether it is or not, this place will just keep progressing, and that's what we do here. We got tenacity of the brain all the time, I'm telling you. So that's one thing. Secondly, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. We've got three brand new products. The pages, I believe, will be finished today, if not first thing in the morning. The first one is, it's really the marquee. It's called Etched in Stone. Wait till you see this product, the people involved with it, and I'm telling you, males, if you're suffering from low T, from low confidence, from even guys, they get very weepy now, too, and you want to get back and you want to feel it again, we've got it. Secondly, we have one called Teacher, Student in Progress. I didn't use the name Coach, and it's nothing against coaching because I have full respect, but I wanted to use a little bit different terminology. That's a page where whatever it is you want to do, obviously we'd talk to you via phone or Skype, and that's how we price that stuff out. So there's plenty there. And then the Winner's Circle, that's one of my favorites. That's 12 audios I did with all the movements I like, a lot of forgotten movements like high shrugs, dips, pullovers, all these man-making movements that have really have just disappeared pretty much, and we're bringing it all back. It's around a little bit, but you won't see it. And wait till you see in the next few weeks, Bill Hinburn and I are going to be doing a four-part series at least about physical culture, and it's like nothing you've ever heard before. So stay tuned for that. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Jim Romig on today. Jim and I have been like missing each other for the last 6 months, but now finally we're back together here. Jim did an introduction show with me. That was the first show. This will be the second one. I really hope to build at least 30 years with this gentleman like everybody. And Jim and I will be doing much more down the road, I'm sure. So be aware of that, but you're going to have two shows. You can meet Jim, and you'll see and you'll hear the new one we're doing today, which will be up by the weekend at the latest. And we'll go from there. But like I said, Jim is on here, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, MMA fighter. He's Internal Roots Movement. He's a movement coach, and he's a mindful movement athlete. And we're going to bring in Jim momentarily, and we're going to talk the last time we were all over, and I love doing that, but we're going to kind of hit early in the show the things that make us exceptional. And in my opinion, I don't think anybody can ever hear that enough, because if you listen to what's going on in the world, I can't say it enough. There's just so much negativity about everything out there. The world's a hell of a place to live, folks. And there's a hell of a lot of good people out there. Stop burying your head in the sand and come on out. We want to meet you. At least we got two people here, I guarantee you, that would love to shake hands with you. So with no further ado, Jim, welcome back to the show, brother.
It's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you in, and it's an honor to have you back. Now, give out your websites, anything I missed. And one thing I want you to hit upon, which is very interesting when you told me this, tell me what a mindful movement athlete is. I have an idea, but those three words interest me. So give out your stuff. Give us a little bit about mindful, and we'll get right into being exceptional, sir.
All right, I guess keep it short, keep it sweet. Being a mindful movement athlete, you're basically training and performing in ways that are going to lessen the chance of you being injured.
Okay.
So you're really connecting with your body during your training and taking the time to understand what is moving you, what is stabilizing, how are you getting the job you want done, mm-hmm. whatever it is, whether it's lunges, whether it's swinging and jumping to something, how can you be the most biomechanically effective? And by being the most biomechanically effective, you can be the most aware of your body too. So you can know when you're on the verge of being hurt.
Yep.
You can ride that edge. You can ride that whole line of discomfort and pain and still be fine because you're in great communication with your body. So it's like you're listening to your body to see what it can do and wants to do as opposed to making it do something no matter what.
That sounds good because too many people push, 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 and we know what happens then. And that's usually not a good outcome. Secondly, I know, and Jim can tell you his website and everything, but Jim was telling me offline today, he's got a YouTube channel now, Jim Romig, and that's very interesting because when we're done with the show this evening, I'm going to go out and look at some of the videos he's got posted. But, Jim, give out your website or anything pertinent to that, and we'll get cooking, brother.
InternalRootsMovement.com. That is just about up and running. We have a few more things to set up, but that should be up and going here in about a week or so. And all the main social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's Jim Romig. And then on Facebook, there is a Internal Roots Movement also.
Awesome. I got to sign up for that. I'm on your other stuff, but I'm not on that. I'll have to make a note of that. All right. You know, you already made the mindful kind of definitely bleeds into exceptional the way I'm interpreting it here. Obviously, you have to listen to your body. Well, when you want to be exceptional, it takes things to create exceptionalism. And one of the things, obviously, is listening to your body. So, in your mind, Jim, we'll just hit the surface a little bit, hit the ground running. What makes you feel exceptional, or what, you know, let's even go a step further with it. Obviously, you have to have your version of exceptionalism, especially when you're training people, when you're putting out media, exceptional, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you tell me, and then any clientele, how do you build that into them? Because we know if you lay a lot on people early, a lot of times you can have the opposite effect. So just take it away like that, please.
Well, I think one way to go about it is to let everybody know that everything's relative. And yep. So when you think of exceptional, everything, like something that's exceptional to one person might just be another day at the office for somebody else.
Sure.
So giving credit where credit's due. If they're doing something that they normally wouldn't do, or if they're making a little more effort to try to move a little bit better or to make themselves a little bit better, or they're coming in one more day, all those are wins. And yeah. So letting people see every time they do something, they're winning at mm-hmm. something. They're getting something from it that they could be off sitting on a couch, sure. eating chips. They could be doing yeah. anything else.
Yep.
But here they are trying.
Yep.
So try. That's the first thing. Try and know that trying is a big thing.
Yep.
And then once you try, go a little more. Try with some effort. Try with some intent. Try with some mindfulness. And then just see where that gets you. But just know that doing something is worth noting. And if you screw up, fine. We're all going to screw up. Get back on.
Mm-hmm.
Do one little thing to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, and even though, even getting back on track, that's exceptional. That's great.
Yep.
Because most people can't do that.
That's right. And I'll tell you another thing. Choices are going to make and break you, but you can always come back from a bad choice. I mean, obviously there's things that you can do or can land you in jail, but I'm saying the most things with choices, in what we do here, especially in here, is you make some bad moves. We all do. We make corrections. We blow things again, make another correction. Maybe we change the exercise. See, the thing I think right now, Jim, that I see more than anything, and this is my opinion, and I'll be interested to see what you say. When Bill Hinbird and I did our last show a few weeks ago, before we got in the show, we were already on air, and I started the crap about physical culture with him. And I got him lit up, and I mean lit up, because I think that a lot of things now, and this even includes verbiage, has become very specialized. Now, look, we got into that with Bud Jeffries the other day, and I just put his podcast up with me. But specialization for things is fine, but if you don't have the broad base, and I'm just going to talk from a weightlifting standpoint here. I don't care what it is, baseball, football, any type of movement. You know, we know you're very involved with maces and things of that nature. The bottom line is Jim Romig just didn't walk into that and be good. Same way with your MMA. It took steps to do that. It took you to build a base, a belief. And a lot of this stuff now is skewed to me all over. And we got into this, and Bill was like, you know, Bill, you can imagine 52 years, the passion this guy's got still. Well, we are going to end up probably doing at least a 4-part series on this, and Bill's going to start it out from like 1902. Now, this is my point with everything. You know, you have screw-ups, you have failures, but there are some things like a base. You know, when I talk base for myself, it's some type of pull. A squat, obviously, a press, I like overhead, but when the bench press was done correct, I think many, many moons ago, you talk about a very, very beneficial movement. Okay, so the whole thing with this is this. I think we need, well, where I think fitness is in ashes now, and I don't even like using that word because I use more of muscular strength power. And
I thought you meant ashes.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of the
You don't like ashes? What's wrong with ashes?
Well, no, but you know, I think it's kind of like burned up. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of people can't interpret it, you know, et cetera, anymore. And I'm very mindful of all those things now because a lot of the things I like to do, I interpret different. I might label it different, et cetera, and it works for me. But the thing I see with my exceptionalism here is this. To learn to build the base with anything you do, learn, you know, and this is a word that's very hard for people is patience because we know we live in a very, very fast world, you know, and it's mostly due to, you know, the phone, the texting, the iPads, all that, you know, it's like instantaneously you can have it. But you know what you do and I know what I do, that's going to take you a lifetime to build. Now, if you can stress this either with the people listening to a show like this or your clientele and capture that moment with them and keep them going and going, like you said, you make a mistake, you screw up. All right, well, we're going to fix it. We're not going to worry about it, and we're not going to drop out of it. And I know that happens more times than none, but my whole premise here and what I want to accomplish not only with the show, all of our friends on the show, our guests, our family, everything here is to say to you this. I don't care what anybody tells you out there. This is where I'm coming from because I've dealt with a lot of different age people here. There are no hopeless cases. I've had them as old as 82 years old here, and I've had them come here where they couldn't even turn the top off a pickle jar, and after a few months they can twist the jar in pieces, all right? So anybody that thinks that it can't be done, it can be done, but you're going to need the tenacity, the discipline, obviously the action to do it. But I love this phrase better than a lot of things I've ever said. Steve Jeck, who's on here regularly, who was the guy that really started me in stones when he went over to Iceland and lifted the famous Husafell stone. Plus, he's a big-time, you know, thrower and all that. And he says these words, and I love them. It's called shoulder some responsibility. I live by that sentence there. I love that sentence, and I tell that to everyone. So it's all yours, brother.
I like that shoulder some responsibility. It's pretty cool.
It's good.
Yeah, what am I doing now?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I want to ask you, all right? You know, you've done a lot of things, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you're in, you know, MMA. You know, you're coming up with new things. I mean, you're training people. You know, mindful movement, things of all that nature. That had to come from somewhere. But you 20 years ago, you know, or however long you've been going, you had to work up to this stuff. And that, and the point, and what I'd like you to tell everybody is, I mean, to me, that's exceptional, right? Without someone having to brag you all over the place, without you having to have being patted on the back like so many people need, you got where you got because you had a vision, you went through the turmoil, and you're still going to go through it till the day you stop doing this stuff. But yet, you were able to take everything you've done now and turn it into meaningful things. So comment on that. Tell everybody out there, why did you do this? Why did you... What propelled you to keep going, you know? And here you are today. You're a man that's done some things. So tell everybody out there. Don't be shy.
I guess to be completely outright honest.
Yeah.
I love, because being mindful in your movement, movement's movement. It doesn't matter if you're doing karate, lifting a rock, lifting a barbell, you're running down a field, whatever the hell it is, movement's movement. And you have gravity pulling on you, and you might have some kind of exterior force playing on you, whether it's a person or whether it's a object or whatever. So it's all the same shit regardless.
Yeah.
So long as you're mindful in your movement, you actually connect with your body more and you find things that you can improve on and you find things that you can make a little better. And then once you start doing that to something tangible like your body, it starts to happen in your mind.
Yep.
It starts to happen in your heart and you become kind of a better person. You start looking for ways that you can become better, become nicer, like become a better husband, become a better whatever.
Yeah.
And for what it did to me, I found that the most joy that I could get was delivering that to other people.
Yep.
And so, like, when I see other people grow and I see them flourish, like, it just does it for me, no?
Well, it does it for you. See, people don't understand this. I got in this stuff with a couple people one day. These are friends of mine that are still all lifters. They were kind of people that always kept everything they did close to the chest, and I never could understand that because, you know something, pretty much everything's been done. Yeah, we come up with new things and this and that, but it's all part of it. You know, it just reminds you of a big flower opening up and blossoming eventually. You know, it's going to happen. And I used to say, what's the big deal with holding all this stuff back, or you don't want somebody to see you, or you go in the gym and train late at night and all this BS? Well, you know, you want to win, you want to do this. I said, you know what you're doing? You're setting yourself up for failure. That's what you're doing, because you're so concerned about not letting anybody see you that don't you understand that this is going to work against you? If maybe not now, this type of practice is going to keep coming at you. Well, to make a long story short, you know, them, like everybody else, went through some hard times, and they realized that sharing information, if someone comes up and asks you something, you know, I'm talking on a legitimate level thing, you should answer their question. If you're in a point where you could show them how to do it, because I'm telling you right now, that stuff does more for you than lifting up the next heavy barbell. It's going to influence and impact on you so much. It's like my nieces and nephews, little kids. They're friends. I got 6-year-olds lifting sandbags now. Why?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And why? Because kids to me are like sponges. And if you don't take it and ram it down their throat, they're going to jump right on it when you ask. Now, when they come over to my house, my little niece Madeline, we call her Maggie, she's 9. Jim, this kid is tiny, but she is a spitfire, man. I'm talking, she can get up in a full handstand. She can drop in a wrestler's bridge. Very, very athletic. They had a race in school last year in 3rd grade. She beat everybody, boys included. I mean, I love her to death. Unreal. And then Danny is 6. His birthday will be this week, and he's coming into his own. So I called my brother-in-law and sister and said, look, I want to build a couple sandbags for Danny. And they're right on it, you know, because both sides of the family are all athletes. I bring them over an 8-pound and a 12-pound. And I did them just the way I would do them for myself. Man, oh, man, this kid was jumping through the wall. Now, Maggie wants some. We just haven't had good weather to build them out there. But I'll build her a set. And when I talk about exceptional, this is it. You know, I think after you get two or three decades in you, and a lot of people have been beaten up, and I don't mean beat up in a physical sense, I hope never, but mentally beaten up, and you've been told over and over again, like me going back to lift some big stones again. Here's the first thing they say to me. Well, didn't you learn from the last time when you tore your bicep over there? And I look at him and I laugh at him. And I said, do you think that's going to stop me from going and doing this? I mean, the last time we were there, we never should have probably went in November, but I was too stubborn. We got caught in a storm. It's lucky we didn't get killed over there. It was, you know, when you're up that high in the mountains and things are happening all around you in a place that something happened to you, maybe they find you, maybe you just sit there and turn into a skeleton. I don't know. But the point of the matter is, I love working with kids. They just go right to it, especially when you know how to gently kind of push them a little bit. When they come over here, both of them flip a 15-inch tire. They carry bricks for farmer walks, among other things. I have them doing step-ups now. And for their grip, I have them just do an overhand, underhand grip on a picnic table. Now, there's no reason why people that are 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, can't get a little bit better. But the thing I find with most people, especially when you want to get them very exceptional and get them rolling again, is it's like an onion in their mind. You got to keep peeling back the layers. Some are going to make it. Unfortunately, some aren't. So my view of exceptionalism, especially what I've dealt with whether it's clientele on the show, is this. If I want to be, quote-unquote, an expert, which people like to call themselves, which I don't care one way or the other, I think you got to do it. I think you've got to do what you're trying to sell, market, or just teach, you know, on the fly. Because you have no credibility or authenticity if you're not doing that. And this is now coming full circle to physical culture and everything else. We have lost a lot of those things, but guys like you and everybody on this show are of the ilk that they want to offer solutions. They want to help people. They know that helping others betters them. And wouldn't it just be great? I mean, I can tell you right now, just from Eminem and showing Danny, I've got right now Charlie Oliphant, who's on here. He's an awesome stone lifter from Scotland. His son, the other day, he put up on my Etched in Stone page. Here's his boy, 7 years old. They built small Atlas stones. The kids, you want to see form, Jim? I'm talking unbelievable. Then Danny, obviously. John Patrick has 2 5-year-old daughters that literally are carrying stones. And then Kelly Johnson, who's on this show too. She's got a 3-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. They're carrying sandbags. So do you see what's, you know, exceptionalism is very easy to me to grow and build, especially when you can offer not only the example, but just that little bit of motivation, you know, that little bit of self-talk to them where it's like, here we go, bang, we're going to take the first step. So comment on any of that, please.
I think that you kind of were saying it in a roundabout way, is that, like, it's about consistency, but not only consistency, but being humble enough to do what it is you really need to do to progress in what it is you're trying to progress in.
Yeah.
And that's like, some people, they don't want to sacrifice a little bit of depth on a squat in order to feel it better and get more engaged to safely and effectively get down further in a squat. They'd rather try to force it.
Yep.
And they're not going to improve much on that if they keep forcing the same shitty form.
Yeah.
Sorry. Same bad form.
Yep.
But if you can improve little by little and be humble enough to improve as you move and be okay with sacrificing a little bit of your quote-unquote numbers sometimes, you know, sacrifice some of those arbitrary non-existent numbers. Just go ahead and let the form take over. Let your body do everything as well as it can and be humble enough to allow that to happen. And great stuff happens when all that takes place. And I think that's one part of excellence, one part of being something that a lot of people have a hard time being, is being humble enough to do what it is you need to do and also be humble enough consistently.
Do you think that we're living in a time now where, well, we know all the stuff going on the outside, if you listen to news and all that, you're bombarded with. Are we living in a time, though, you think that, well, I think, this is my opinion, I'm going to tell you my opinion, you can disagree or agree with me. a lot of things that probably would not have been accepted, say, 25 years ago are. Now, let's just talk about, you said, the guy on the couch with the potato chips. And we know through all the studies, and I'm not talking out my butt here, that obesity, obviously, and diabetes in the young, and it's not only in the United States, it's rampant in the world, is just blowing apart now. And we know, you know, it was very interesting. I'm probably going to be doing a show on it's going to be something to, that you never learn defeat. And, you know, we all know about the positions with a lot of people getting ribbons all the time and all that. That's all well and good, but that's not going to get you where you want to get in life, because life is not always going to be kind to you, and you got to be willing to put up a fight no matter what. And I think, and I'm be very interested what you think about this, being with what you do too. I think now the heavy set kid or the heavy set adult sitting on the couch with a bag of potato chips is far more acceptable now, because, you know, we got a gym here, if you want to call it that, and I'm not even going to give it any love here, because what it stands for is the exact polar opposite of what I am. And it's, they say right on the door, we don't judge. There's no judgment here of anybody. I guess maybe that works for their customers, but that's not going to be very helpful to someone that barely can get out of their car and walk to the front door. So my whole thing is this. Do you feel that a lot more things that, you know, especially you're around some heavy-duty stuff, same way with me, obviously we've got a different mindset to do what we do, but do you think there's some things now that are a bit more acceptable now than they would have been even, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Everything's always kind of changing. Everyone's perspective on things, even look on a grand scale of, like, gay marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
That sign and weed being legal, that sign in and of itself, that shit changes.
Yeah. But, you know, but the thing that bothers me more than anything is they're not doing people like that any good service. Now, if you're telling somebody, don't worry about the extra bag of potato chips or drink another, you know, fructose or corn syrup soda, you know, it's all right. You don't have to worry about it. Well, and then they're 11 years old and they're on insulin, because I know this for a fact. My mother retired as a school nurse teacher, and she said, that used to scare the hell out of her, because, you know, your license is on the line all the time, and here you are giving kids shots during the day because they're all diabetic. And my whole premise is this. You know, all right, I understand people do get that, and that's a terrible thing to get. But when a little bit of preemptive, or even if they have it, you know, they go to a good guy like you or I, and they start learning physical culture, not just going in and learning how to lift a kettlebell or a weight or a stone or whatever, but they start learning the lifestyle of it. They begin to understand the concept of, hey, you know what? I can get in shape, but I can build a lifestyle that could hopefully keep them very healthy till the day that they're coming near the end in their life. And if something should happen, they've got the mental buildup to be able to deal with it no matter how bad it is. Comment on that. I'm very interested in that.
So, like, I'm a little lost. We kind of went over all over the place in the last part, whether things are acceptable or whether, are we giving too many pats on the back? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, more or less. And you know, we talked about the physical culture thing here where, you know, wouldn't it be a great thing for children, especially as they're starting out, to start learning how to eat properly? And I'm not saying take anything away from the parents. I want to work in conjunction with the parents, and I'll tell you why. It's when you get the parents on the wagon with them, boy, oh boy, you've really changed some lives there. And see, to me, I see too many people take a drug, take a pill, do this, quick fix, don't worry about it. I think that that's a perception of society, but yes, don't you think it's time now, as they say, a little tough love? We're not all getting ribbons yet. You're a good person, but you know something? What you're doing, we're going to call you out on it now. And what I like, and that's why I devote with this show so much, is this. I can't tell you what to be, and I wouldn't. I just want to help you or maybe lead you to something. But wouldn't it be a great thing if physical culture began to blossom all over the place. And you got mothers and fathers in with their kids that maybe had some trouble, that were a little heavy, and you got them down to a good weight. And the parents are like, wow, I could use that too and do that. That's my point here. I think that would help us out in a way where we wouldn't have to be going and getting all this other drug stuff. I mean, just look at TV at night, if you watch TV. Now, the Yankees were on the other day. I don't know, maybe every third commercial. What was it? Drug. You got this. The biggest ones, as you know, if you watch anything, it's always ED. All time.
Boner okay?
pills. Yeah, they got some hot chick coming on, you know, Harley Anthony on saying blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what? Here's something everyone should know. If you want to take that stuff, be my guest. I remember about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, this guy, I want to say a kid, he was 21 years old. I don't know what his deal was. He was going over to meet his girlfriend in Boston, and he decided to take not one, but two Viagra. When he was having sex with her, he had a heart attack and blew out right there. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, and this is what I'm asking you is, how about a few less ribbons and a little bit more power? What do you think?
I think there's a happy medium.
Yeah.
I think kind of one little a way I like to say it is what I like to say about movement.
Yep.
You can never move perfectly, but you can always move a little bit better.
Yeah.
So same thing about life. You're not going to be perfect, but you can always improve a little bit. So why not?
Yep.
Be honest, see what your faults are, and see where your shortcomings are, whether they be physical, mental, emotional, whatever, and engage them and find ways to improve on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we're never going to be exactly who we want to be, but we should never stop trying to be that person.
Yeah, and that's the thing that has to be conveyed in my mind over and over again, and we need good people out there that aren't afraid to tell people that. And I think, you know, leading by example to me is always going to be the key to everything, and that is going to be a big thing. I will tell you this, though, Jim, you know, I'm sure when you're training, obviously, different story, same with me. One thing I love about what I do is, and you talked about it more or less when you're talking about mindful movement, I love to engage. And when I say that, that could be a dead stop squat with 600 pounds on my shoulders and I got to come out of the hole with it. That could be lifting a 300-pound stone, getting knocked on my rear end multiple times. Then one day you walk up to it and boom, it comes off the ground and you stand there for a second, whether you're going to put it down or walk it, and you're like amazed. Because, see, this stuff happens. I had Brandy Holloman on here today, and we got into that. I don't know about you. You know, this is when I was working 7.5 hours a day for a firm. You'd be psyched as hell about training. I mean, you could just feel the vibration all day.
It's the thrill of the hunt, man. We don't, it's in us. We have it, and we have to express it somehow.
Absolutely, but here's the funny thing. Get out there that night. I do stuff, but I was like flat on my face. Then other days when I just wasn't feeling it, I'd go out and set PRs, man. So, you know, this is the beauty of life. And this is, I remember my chiropractor who we lost, I talk about him on the show now, John Ridge. I used to love it, man. You know, he's from New Hampshire. Great stories. You know, was a chiropractor all his life, pretty much. Real interesting guy. Real character. Like, you don't meet a lot of people like that anymore. You know, really, really. And his father was a barber. And I wish I could do the New Hampshire accent, but I can't. And he, you know, this was his second house where he had his office. And he used to love it. He'd always send me, you know, sit in Pop's chair. That's what he called it. And it was beautiful. It was old school. Had the marble, you know, tops on it, everything. And he used to say to me, you know, we get talking about stuff. And it was funny as hell. And, you know, we disagree on things, but we never walked away not friends still. And he used to say two words to me. Well, he used to say a couple two-worders to me that I'll say at the end of the show. He used to always say to me, Eric, that's life. And I used to, you know, kind of just like shake my head, but It really is. That's life. And with life, to become exceptional, you're going to have to meet up with a lot of things on the way, and you're never going to stop. I talk about business and training and all that all the time. Every day, there's going to be something that's going to want to swat me right across the head and does. The point of the matter is when you go down on that one knee, you're going to get back up and face it totally. Yes. And these are the things that are so pertinent, that are so important to be exceptional. And these are the things that this is why I believe so highly in what we do. Because if you really understand physical culture, you will have one of the best personal lives you've ever owned. Because I will say this, and I can't wait to hear what you say to this. I've come up now totally with a couple different things. Lifting is great. Lifting heavy things is great. Health is the most important. I never used to say that before. But let's face it. You don't have health, you're not doing anything. Secondly, just because I leave a stone on the ground or a barbell off my shoulders or out of my hands, it doesn't end there when I shut the garage door, because that is in my DNA as much as everything else. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, because when I talk to them about it, they kind of look at me funny. But how do you shut off what you live by, the standard, whatever it is? How do you shut that off when you get in street clothes and you're out wherever? You don't.
I don't get in street clothes.
Well, you know, yeah, but I have to, dude, because here it's 11 below. I mean, I'll do a cut-off shirt, but, you know, I'm not going to – but you get my point. So the whole point of the matter is it's like this is you. I don't leave it back here when I walk away. Go ahead. Lay it on me.
Yeah, I can't I try not to turn it off, because being mindful – that's kind of my point, is like being mindful when I move and when I –
Yep.
lift or swing or hit a bag or climb on stuff or whatever helps me to be mindful. And if I can keep being mindful throughout the rest of the day and I keep things in perspective and I don't act emotionally, I can see things as they are. Everything goes great. I don't care if someone cuts me off.
Yep.
I don't care if someone's riding up on me. I don't care if someone yells at me.
Yep.
It's fine. It is what it is. They're having a bad day. Whatever.
Yep. Yep.
But if I'm not being mindful and I'm being just reactive and I'm being emotional, nothing ends well.
Nope. Nope. Nothing does.
So it's like, let's just be mindful. And like, the more I can stay that way, the better off I am. And the more I see other people being mindful of what they're doing, the better off they are. So it's like, well, let's just make it our life's goal to help people be mindful.
Absolutely. Because I'll tell you what, when you're confident, when you're sure of yourself, when you look what you do, all the little things that kill, cripple, and paralyze people essentially doesn't happen to you. Even if something twists your tail a little bit, you know how to get yourself back. See, that's how you keep getting better and better and better. It's the ones that are holding the grudges, that are pissed off at everything, whether it's in their home, outside of their home, the ones that never have a good thing to say about anybody, the ones that never want to try. Well, I don't even like using that word, try. The ones that don't even want to make an effort to do something that would be exceptional, to push themselves, you know, as you talk about the mindful movement, to take themselves mentally and stretch. You know, don't complain when you're not where you want to be. And don't blame people for where you are. Because you know what? I said this to somebody today. No matter how bad things get, you always have a choice. Now, one thing I do, if things start getting really friggin' hot around me and it diffuses you real easy, I said it on today's show, I count from 18 down to zero. 9 times out of 10, that will take me right out of that space there. Because, see, the thing right now in my life, I have so many goals, so much love and passion for what I do, and I want to do so many things, you know, more than ever now. I don't have time to engage with people that maybe hate their lives, or, you know, they look at you like, you know, you and I have seen it. You know, they'll look at you like, I'm going to knock your friggin' head in. It's like, I don't even want to get involved with you. The thing is, if you want to get ahead and you want to be exceptional and you want to do great things, I hate to say it, but it's true. There's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be around you anymore for one reason or another. And it's the growing process. It's you, like you just said it, and I said it. A lot of things that used to be could bother you or whatever, they don't really exist in your life anymore. And this, to me, is called maximum growth. You're getting to know yourself better. You're putting – see, I like outside, especially with the weights and the stones and everything. I never put myself in a position where I could really hurt myself. That's not what I'm saying here. But I like the idea of something trying to push me right through the friggin' cement. All right? Now, a lot of people say you're out of your mind, and I've had people say that. Well, until you test yourself like that, yeah, you can go along in life. You know, people accept you because you're 100 pounds overweight and ha-ha-ha-ha like that. I could care less about any of that stuff. I want things to engage me, to pressure me, to push me, and I love acting with urgency at times. I think life in a lot of ways is urgency. And I'm not saying urgency where, oh my God, you know, my heart's rapping 100 more beats. I don't mean it like that. What I'm saying is when you engage with things that you want to do and you want to be the one that does the push back, all right, where you're not getting pushed all the way through it all. Those are the things to me that really create an exceptional, interesting human being, because I've talked to a lot of people in business that have done very well. And I got to tell you, Jim, not everyone, but the majority of them are very interesting to talk to. They've done things. They've been in the trenches. They know what it is to live hand to mouth for a long time. They understand that, you know, it's like this was said to me by somebody the other day. I know you're not going to ever quit. I know things are hard for you. I said, yep. But don't be like the guy down in the tunnel with the pickaxe where there's two of them. And the gold is 10 feet away. One guy keeps going and the other one throws his pickaxe down and walks away. And the other guy's sitting there happy. So that's exceptional to me. Go ahead. Comment on anything, my friend.
We're kind of here talking about the getting pushed to the ground with the stone.
Yeah,
I think like just lifting stones and lifting objects and lifting in general, that's just an analogy for life.
Yeah.
Is that thing going to – are you going to lift that thing in a way where it's going to hurt you and you have to drop it down? Or are you going to get it above head, still hurt, but just pushing it overhead with a grimace on your face?
Sure.
Or are you going to get it up with finesse, and are you going to get it up with a smile? Or are you going to get it up with structure?
Yep.
And make it the most beneficial way? So that weight, gravity – it's all life. So how can you keep your form? Well, how can you move? What can you do to maintain your form? And can you keep your composure while you keep your form?
Yeah. That's a big thing because, you know, one thing I noticed, especially when I went to Iceland and everything, it's real interesting, Jim. You know, a lot of people like to train with a lot of people. They like to be pushed, obviously, and people like, you know, adulation, all that. And due to circumstances, I ended up having to train on my own. You know, I had my brother and my other buddy who was just like family. We didn't connect anymore. Goodbye. Pretty painful, you know, training together for a decade. But I will tell you this. If you can do it, training alone was the best move I ever made. Because not only did I have to start over equipment-wise, mentally wise, big time, because you didn't have guys pushing you anymore, and a lot of people like that. Now, where it made me, I feel exceptional with things, I'll just give a quick description. Go to Iceland, you go lift the Húsafell stone, it's 418 pounds, and you walk it 50 meters around a sheep pen that it was used to block one side when they're in there and the other side when they're being milked.
Oh, you have to walk it too?
Yeah, 50 meters.
I didn't know that was a part of the deal.
Oh yeah, and we're not and we're not talking blacktop you're walking on either. We're talking up and down and shale and you name it. Okay, but the biggest thing with this thing is it doesn't have any handholds in it, and it's a volcanic stone that is like talc. So you got to have fingers literally that you could literally put through yourself. That's the biggest. You can be the strongest deadlifter in the world, and I guarantee you, you won't lift that stone. And if you do, you're probably going to drop it right away. It is that intense. So what I want to equate with this whole thing with exceptionalism is here. It's nice to have people cheer you, like in Iceland and everything, but here's what I'm going to tell you all. when you've trained yourself, especially as Jim says, with the mindfulness, you don't hear anybody cheering for you when you're walking with that thing, and everybody's a blur. I got news for you. So if you're counting on someone to put you in a position where you're going to win, I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's going to be few and far between. So to be exceptional and to go and do these big things, these voyages, man, and going up against things that literally could care less about you. If that stone kills me, it's not going to matter one bit. Okay? So what I'm trying to say to everyone here is this. Do all the steps you need to do to become your own exceptional human being. And when you start reaching those points in your life, and even before then, share that with people. So give them solutions. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what you've been through. I'm telling you right now, you will make a mark on people. I don't care how old they are, because I talk to people of all age groups about the Husafel and the different stones. And I'm telling you right now, people have never touched a stone in their life. They're captivated by it. Why? Because everybody wants to see, and I don't care who you are. There's some that don't, but the majority of people want to see you succeed. But you know what the greatest thing is? Here's how you really get people to come into what you're doing. Learn to become the best storyteller. And I don't mean phony stories. Tell them what you're doing. Just like we do on the show here. This is a story I'm telling you. This is one of the most interesting, if not the most interesting thing I've ever done in my life going there. Because I can remember Doc Ridge, I'll quote him again. When I tore my bicep there the first time, and a couple of us did. I mean, it was so intense. And that was the worst injury I ever sustained, and I promised myself I'll never get a tear again. And I remember flying home on Icelandic Air with my nephew, and it had to be some of the worst times I ever felt, because I was kind of embarrassed about it. You know, you work real hard, and you know the questions are coming and all that. And to me, I didn't fulfill my exceptionalism. I got back, and nobody laid the mitt on me at all. They all felt bad. And I didn't want – it wasn't a pity party or anything, but, you know, they wanted me to understand that, hey, we're very proud of you. So I go over to John Ridge's again, you know, when I got back, because he called me up. He goes, come on over. I want to talk to you. I didn't really feel like talking to anybody for a while. So I went over and sat in his dad's barber chair, and he said to me, are you all right? And I said, sure. He goes, are you all right? He goes, I've never seen you so quiet. I said, thinking about a lot of things. He goes, I want to tell you two things. Now, John carried weight with me. Like, there aren't a lot of people that carried weight with me like John. And he said, I'm going to tell you two things. He said, number one, I'm so proud of you. He goes, you're going to go back and get it. Second of all, he said, think about, you are only one of the few in the whole world that have ever gone over to do that. He goes, if anything, to your last days, you can take that with you. That right there was like somebody punched me right in the head and woke me up. Woke me up. I wasn't thinking anymore about the defeat. What I was thinking about now was it's time to heal up, get back, and get even. So everybody, I'll leave you with this. No matter what you do, no matter what is said to you, I promise you, if you'll take the steps, take the determination, take the plan, take the action, discipline, and be very patient, I guarantee you will all be exceptional. And you are anyways. And if no one's told you that, I'm going to tell you that right now. Everybody out there that listens to Eminem is exceptional, but you have to fulfill your exceptional ability. Take that with you. Jim, comment, take your time on anything, give out any information. I'll give mine, and we'll set up for next month.
Word. Yeah, just a quick, I guess, sum it up pretty quick. The grass is never greener on the other side. It's all the lighting, for one. Two, we're never going to have perfect weather, so just get your stuff moving now.
Yep.
And for three, go around with the attitude of, what's the word, of abundance. Abundance, yeah. Instead of scarcity. Know, yes, that there's plenty of information to go out. There's plenty of air to go around. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of movement. There's plenty of love.
Yep.
So we shouldn't act like this stuff isn't going to be around anymore.
Exactly.
So the more we give it out and the more we live by it and the more we do it all, dude, the more there's going to be.
Yeah. You know something, when you say that, I love that, because I love studying a lot of metaphysical stuff and all that. We're the ones that put the shackles on ourselves, everybody. Unshackle yourself and don't be afraid. I know it can be scary at first because you're going after things you've never thought of before. You want to change how you speak to yourself, the terminology, those around you that maybe you don't want around you anymore, and it can be very scary. But you have to realize that if you make the correct moves, and like Jim said, there's always stuff out there to help you, will help you, do it. That's all I can say. Jim, give out your website, anything like that. I'll give my stuff out, and just hang on, and we'll be right with you.
Yeah, internalrootsmovement.com. There's an Internal Roots Movement Facebook page. And then Jim Romig on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then Jim Romig on YouTube as well.
Okay. Is that everything?
And just peep out for that article coming from Mad Fit Magazine. I put a lot of work into that, and I think people are going to be pretty stoked.
Absolutely, man. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I always say, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Check out our three new products. The pages will either be done tonight or tomorrow, so check all that out. Big stuff. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, you'll see more and more shows with Jim, but there's close to 700 shows there. And as I said, March was our biggest month ever on Motivation Muscle. This place is on fire, literally, and it is growing, growing, growing. We will be a major radio show. That is my dream. That is my premise, and that is what I put out into the universe. And it is coming, believe me. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. I thank everybody for that. You can also get us in your car through AHA Radio. Well, it's AHA Directory, Motivation Muscle. All the new cars have the capability. So you can get internet radio here 24/7 from us. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jim and I to do, go out to Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with a multitude of things here. Number one, someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words of inspiration can change your life forever. If you think I'm kidding, try it with somebody that's down on their luck, and you're going to see a big grin on their face. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, press it, pull it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoose of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, as no one will ever clip our balls, and as the great Russell Furr says, who's listened to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that, my brother, for the next 30 years, I promise you. Frank Klein, my greatest marketing business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Also, John Ridge, my chiropractor, as I spoke about. John was like a father figure to me. I lost my dad many years before I met John, and we lost John almost 3 years now. He said 2 words to everybody as he walked him to the door. He's a chiropractor. Keep smiling. I dare you to say that on your worst or best day. I'm smiling right now. You will smile. Walk around and say, keep smiling. I have people that leave messages here for me, and they'll say, keep smiling at the end of the conversation. Awesome stuff. That's all I can tell you. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're coming. We're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Remember this. We want you to join our family and be part of a revolution. And I'm telling you right now, it is. Also, too, I'm going to read one line quickly before we sign off. And this is from Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and Peter Martin, the late Peter Martin. Sons of Sisyphus on page 107. This is by our good friend Steve Jack. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's big stuff. Les Brown, you all have greatness. We'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you, and I don't know many people in today's world that would ever put something like that out. But as I said before, we are extraordinary, not ordinary, and we don't think like others. And that's okay, because you need leaders in this world. I think it's very important. Jim, welcome back. Thanks for being on the show, brother.
Cool. Thanks for having me, man. It's great to be here.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure. So, we're going to talk to Jim next month, but in the meantime, you've got, what, five more days to go out and make a mark this week on the world? Go out and do that, because we believe in you, and you all are exceptional. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.